By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I often say, truth will always endure. Truth will always exist as long as there is God. There will be truth. One day, false doctrine or error will cease to exist, along with those who persist in living their lives by error. Our subject for this evening, serving God in Satan's uniform. What did I say? Serving God in Satan's uniform. In war, one of the rules of war, you cannot wear the uniform of the enemy. If you do that, the immediate punishment is death. If South Africa is fighting North Korea, a South African soldier cannot wear a North Korean uniform and thereby deceive the North Koreans. If he does that and he's caught, he is to be shot. Fight in your uniform. But our subject is serving God in Satan's uniform. Before I get into that message, please, if you're not using one of these gizmos, gadgets, make sure it's turned off, not down, off. If you turn it down and it vibrates, natural curiosity will compel you to see who's calling. And when you do that to see, the person next to you will look to see what you're looking at. Then we have a ripple effect of distraction. So please, just turn it off if you do not need it. If you do, make sure the sound is off. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. My words cannot save you, however eloquent they may sound. They cannot save you. God's words will change your life. God's word will bring back that family member who left Christ. God's word will deal with that supervisor who is satanic in his or her attitude towards you. God's word can accomplish miracles. My words cannot. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth, and as surely as God lives, I only want to speak God's words. Favor number three, think. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, it's Friday evening. We are living in holy time. The sun has set, the Sabbath has begun. We're grateful for this holy day. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We thank you, dear God, for the protection of your angels. As we bow in your presence, if we've sinned against you, forgive us, God, please. We're sorry. I mean that sincerely. We are sorry. With your forgiveness, Father, give us power to resist and hatred for sin, because the things we hate, we avoid. I ask you, Father, to possess my mind absolutely 100%. I offer no objection. Tell me what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Give me boldness of expression, but humility of heart. Dear Father, bless our guests. They could have gone anywhere else. They chose to be with us to listen to the words of life. There are many of them in this building and online. Bless them, dear Father, right where they sit, right now. Touch the sick, dear God. You're merciful, God. Touch the sick. Bless this country. Bless the leaders, dear God. As I often say, remind them that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. Father, wherever people are listening, enlighten them through the truth. Now, Father, I humble myself before you. Use me for your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18, the great gospel commission. Our subject, serving God in Satan's uniform. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the... Yes, keep reading. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we will reread that passage, 18 to 20, this time microscopically. When reading the Bible, shut everything else out of your mind. Read without distraction. And I mean the distraction of extraneous thoughts. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. Where? In heaven and in earth. In other words, everywhere. There is nowhere where Christ does not have power. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore, in other words, because I have all power, I am sending you, and my power is behind you. Go ye therefore, when an ambassador goes to a country, the South African ambassador to the United States has the backing of the South African government. If I'm right, say amen. The U.S. ambassador to South Africa has the backing of the U.S. government, and he or she can only say what is consistent with U.S. policy. If he or she utters a contrary word, the person is recalled. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore now. To whom is Jesus speaking? You tell me. The 12 disciples, or the 11, Judas was. The disciples, not only to those present then, but also to us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Not be taught by all nations. Don't let them teach you. Teach them. Because ye are the light of the world, meaning the world has no light. You're quiet on me. Am I getting through to you? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Don't let them baptize you into the waters of the immoral lifestyle. Teaching them to observe. Teach them. Do not let them teach you how to dress. Do not let them teach you how to eat, how to date romantically. You teach them. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What has Christ commanded us? Genesis to Revelation. Now, this is extremely serious. You teach them. The sad story is, or the sad case is, too often the world teaches the church. And the lessons of the world can be seen in the church. So let me tread carefully. And the church, the world teaches the church so well, the church begins to do God's work wearing Satan's uniform. Teaching them to observe. Give me another word for observe. It's smaller. Come on. Obey. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What I'm saying to you, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the church has a mission to convert the world, if possible. Not to allow the world to convert the church. But listen to these words, Great Controversy, page 509, paragraph 1. What did I say? The Great Controversy, page 509, paragraph 1. Conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world. It never converts the world to the church. So when we decide to dress like the world, it does not win the world to Christ. All we end up doing is producing a church that practices vegetarian worldliness. What's our theme? Come on. Prepare, come on, to meet thy God. Now here's what God said about you. Go to John 17. Our subject, doing serving God in Satan's uniform. John 17. Prepare to meet thy God. John 17. Listen to Jesus. This is Christ praying to the Father in the hearing of the 11 disciples. They're listening to him pray. And Jesus prays knowing the disciples and knowing God the Father. He can pray for them. He understands them. He can pray to the Father. He's connected to the Father. John 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Stop. Was Jesus in the world? Yes or no? Did he go to dinner with sinners? Was he one of them? No. If you go to Durban to swim, are you a fish? But are you in the sea? Yes. Yes. And so Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The standard for our distance from the world is the distance of Christ spiritually from the world. Verse 15, read with me. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them, finish the verse, from the evil. God doesn't need you to leave Santon and move to the Vatican. He wants you preserved from the evil in or Sunning Hill or Rivonia or whatever. Little Falls, North Riding, and some other whatever suburbs you have. I pray not, says Jesus, that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. My listening friends, the mission of the church is to do all it can to convert the world to the church, not the church to the world. We have an ineffective form of evangelism. When I say we, I'm making a general statement. Let's be like the world so we can identify and thus win them to Christ. You may win someone to a church building. You cannot win someone to Christ using worldly methods. Are you listening to me? You may win the person to a denomination. You have not won that person to Christ. Because a person won to Christ is a person who has left the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Romans 12, let's read from verse 1. Our subject, serving God in Satan's uniform. Romans 12, we'll read verse 1. While you hunt for that verse, I'll pray again. Father in heaven, continue to be with me, dear God. I appeal to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Pause. Give me another word for beseech. I beg. Give me another word. I urge. Give me another word. I appeal to you. Now, who is appealing through Paul? Who is? The Holy Spirit. Because all scripture is given, come on, by inspiration of God. The Holy Ghost speaking through Paul, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Here's a mother telling her young daughter, don't marry that young man. He's a drug dealer. And she begs her daughter, and she begs her, and she begs her, don't marry him. Because with parental foresight, the mother can see the disaster the daughter is heading for. And so she beseeches her daughter, do not marry that man. Or the father beseeches the son, do not marry that woman. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. To be acceptable unto God, you must be separate from the world. But let's go on. And be not conformed to this world, but be by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A worldly mind cannot comprehend the will of God. I cannot tell you how many times I have collided with believers who, what is God's will for me? What is God's will for me regarding this and that and that? And the very simplest topics. Why? The mind is unable to grasp the will of God. Why? Because the mind is worldlified. That's my word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And Jesus prayed to the Father, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Let me give you that quotation again. Conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world. It never converts the world to the church. When we dress like the world, eat like the world, sing like the world, we're advancing the world's agenda, not the gospel. Now, I did say earlier, Jesus went to dinner with all kinds of people because he came to save them. Listen to these words. Counsels for the Church, page 312, paragraph 3. Tell me what I just said. The society of unbelievers will do us no harm if we mingle with them for the purpose of connecting them to God, and are strong enough spiritually to withstand their influence. I've heard people say, I can watch that movie, it doesn't affect me. I can go to a club, it doesn't affect me. This is well-intentioned idiocy. Are you following me? Everything you see affects you because it enters the mind. Everything you hear affects you. It enters the mind and affects your choices. The society of unbelievers will do us no harm if we mingle with them for the purpose of connecting them to God. Evangelistic purpose, you see, and are strong enough spiritually to withstand the influence. Your friends, your unconverted friends, God bless them, if you're not careful, will twist you. They may not set out to do that, but sustained exposure to their standards will twist you. Because we're born with a nature that prefers that lifestyle. So it is easier to gravitate towards the worldly than the spiritual. Because we're born leaning towards the world. Remember the symbol I gave you of a turtle coming out of the shell? It naturally moves to the sea. That's the way we are. There's no need then to put ourselves in a compromising position. Second Corinthians 6, reading from verse 14. Go with me. Do you have 2 Corinthians 6? What's our subject? Serving God in Satan's uniform. Do you have that? Before we go to 2 Corinthians 6, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. We read verse 9 and verse 10. Serving God in Satan's uniform is really not serving God. I ought to say that. Because God's uniform is the righteousness of Christ. Do you have 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9? Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul is telling Timothy, come as quickly as you can. Why? Read verse 10. For Demas, come on, hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. The world drew Demas away from Paul. The world drew Demas away from the gospel. Now, the greatest preacher after Jesus Christ was Paul. The world drew Demas away from Paul. He loved this present world. Now, while we focus on the fact that Demas loved this present world, let's find out what Jesus came to do. Galatians 1, reading from verse 1, our subject, serving God in Satan's uniform. Galatians 1, we'll read from verse 1. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. All right, what book did I say? What book did I say? Galatians? What chapter? Reading from verse. Father in heaven, as I continue, please, please instruct me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, finish that verse, that he might do what? Deliver us from what? This present, come on. Yes. Now, Jesus came to deliver us from this world, not from the mountains and the rivers. Are you following me? The moral lifestyle. Demas moved to the world and left Paul. Now let me say this, you can leave God without leaving the church. I'm talking to myself. You can leave God without leaving the church building. You can leave God and your name is still on the books. Demas have forsaken me. Jesus came to deliver us from the very thing that attracted Demas. You see, there's a law that says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Are you physicists? Am I right? Yes or no? Yes. Now, if you're attracted to the world, it diminishes your love for spiritual things. The action is love for the world. The reaction, a loss of love for spiritual things. It is absolute. The soul that sinneth, that's the action. What's the reaction? It shall die. Absolute. A love for the world creates a dislike for spiritual things. You cannot break that law. It is a physical law and a spiritual law. If all you watch are soap operas on TV, you will lose interest in this action and reaction. Am I too hard on you? Would you like me to give you a Mary Had a Little Lamb sermon? Am I doing okay? All right. Do you want to be saved? And I want to be saved with you. When we get to heaven, let's live in the same neighborhood. Can you say amen? We can call it the Sunning Hill above. But are you serving God in Satan's uniform? Don't raise your hand. There are preachers who serve God, so-called, in Satan's uniform. You may have heard me tell the story. I was listening to one television evangelist, and I said, God, please, shut him up. Don't kill him, but shut him up. Because that man is serving Satan wearing a preacher's uniform. Shut him up, Father, please. Or shut her up. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus was a young man, by the way. So was Timothy. Young man, youth is no reason to spend all your days in frivolity and triviality. Titus and Timothy are examples of serious young men. Not to spend all your days with video games. You can serve God very seriously. Mm-hmm. What book did I say? Titus. What chapter? 2. Reading from what verse? 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Read with me now. Teaching us that what? Denying, come on. And worldly lust, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. In other words, we're in the world, but not worldly. Read the verse again. Teaching us, verse 12, that denying what? We should live how? Soberly. You have to deny the world. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I deny the fashions of the world. I deny the diet of the world. I deny the love practices of the world. I deny the spending habits of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, I deny the world. The opposite reaction, I embrace the lifestyle of heaven. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. The fact that you grew up in Soweto is no excuse to live a wild life, or Harlem, the United States. Environment is not your God. There's a power above environment. That's the power of Jesus Christ. Christ came from the slums. He came from the slums. But he lived a heavenly life in the slums. Serving God in Satan's uniform. My brothers and my sisters, you and I have a choice to make. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And we're told, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Shun, that's an active word. And the word will eat at the canker. Now, what's a canker? Whatever it is, it eats away. It eats away. It eats away. The world is a canker. The world is a moral rust spot that grows and grows and grows until it removes the gloss of your spirituality. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, God knoweth who are his, and that every man who called the name of God depart from, or the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. That's active. Shun, depart. Now, but in the great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and an earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In other words, in any society, there are people made of gold and silver, there are those made of wood and stone. Gold and silver, superior. Wood and stone, inferior. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the inferior, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We must purge ourselves from the inferior. I'm not saying we must act in a superior manner. I'm simply saying we avoid that which will contaminate our spirituality. If a man purge himself from these, now read verse 22 for me. What does that say? All young men, young women, read that verse. What does that say? Flee also what? Youthful lust. Now that's action, you see. What's the reaction? Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Finish the verse. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure... No. Those are your associates. There are a lot of nice people in prison because of the influence of their associates. There are a lot of gravestones that are there because the dead person was influenced by an associate. There's something in a human being that loves to be led. We love to be led. We love to be told. And we have friends who exercise that power. They lead, they tell, they influence, and they influence us right into trouble. Call on the Lord with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee also youthful lusts. Don't walk. What should you do? Run. If you have a friend who tells you, let's smoke, what should you do? Run. Not towards the cigarette. Are you with me? Run. And don't look back like Lot's wife. Let's go, whatever. Run. Flee, youthful lust, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. What are those things? The fruits, come on, of the Spirit. You know what Jesus said? It applies to you and to me. Blessed are they that hunger, come on, and thirst for what? Righteousness. Finish the verse. They shall be filled. Have you ever seen a hungry person drinking? Have you ever seen a hungry person eating? They don't eat, they gulp. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's the guarantee? They shall be filled. So if you and I are not filled with righteousness, it is not God's fault. You and I are not hungering and thirsting. And perhaps we do not hunger and thirst because we do not appreciate the value, the eternal value of righteousness. Serving God in Satan's uniform. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, Christ is a sacrifice. But we learned last night or the night before, what kind of sacrifice represented Christ? A sacrifice without blemish and without spot. Let's say that again. Christ was a sacrifice without blemish and without spot. The Bible says we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice does God want us to be? Without blemish and without spot. Go to Ephesians 5. You look a little confused. Ephesians 5. I hope our friends online are still with us. It's really astonishing what technology allows us to do. There may be someone in Saudi Arabia, in China, anywhere just listening. And I'm in that country right now without a passport. What book did I say? What chapter? 5, reading from verse 25. Let me pray again. Dear God, I'm coming to the end of this presentation. I think I've said enough. Now, Father, give me the final words of power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we read from verse 25, let's review what I just said. Christ was a sacrifice. How? Describe it. Without and without. The Bible says we must present ourselves as a sacrifice. Now, let's read from verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Read with me now, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church is to be without spot and without blemish. This was always God's desire for us when he said, let us make man, how? In our image. You tell me, how many blemishes are in the image of God? So an image with a blemish is not the image of God. I lost it. An image with a blemish is not the image of God. We must be without spot, without blemish. Association with the world makes that impossible. Beware of wolves which come to you in sheep's clothing. The world has to beware of Christians who come in worldly clothing. Do you know? It is unfair to the world for a Christian to behave like the world. It's a disservice to the world. The world needs to see. What is a Christ-like life like? Are you following me? When I behave like the world sees nothing. Nothing. All the world sees is a reproduction of itself in a so-called Christian. My brothers and sisters, let's read Ephesians 5 again, 25. I want to point something out to you before I close. Ephesians 5, reading from verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, read with me, that he might, what? Sanctify, come on, and cleanse it, how? With the washing of water, by the word, stop. This is what removes your love for the world, this. Now, I hope the praise team doesn't get angry with me. I've not yet met anyone in the Bible saved by special music. I've met many people saved by the word. Did God invent music? Yes. Should we use it? Yes. But music is not the word. Let me say it again. Music is not the word. I'm not here to talk about music. I'm simply here to stress the importance of the word. This will change people. This will remove your attraction for the things of the world. This will change the way you dress. It'll change the way you eat. It'll change your interaction with your girlfriend and send her back to her real boyfriend. Are you following me? So you took her from him. It will change. This is your defense against the world. Studied, give me another word, and obeyed. I give you one quotation, I sit down. Christ's Object Lessons, page 100, paragraph 1. If study, the scriptures are the primary agency in the transformation of character. When God wants to change a man, this is the chisel he uses. This is the tool. This is the hammer. This is the saw. This is the plane. I love to hear my South African say, hey. I really do. I was in a Motherwell doing a camp meeting, and I was preaching every 5 minutes, aye. Aye. And I really loved it. Aye. Each time the Holy Spirit stuck someone with a needle of conviction here. Aye. So his brother said, aye. We don't say that over there. We say something else. My brothers and sisters, this is God's tool to carve out a masterpiece. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Listen to me. Do this experiment. It's simple. Take 15 minutes in the morning. 15 minutes at night. Take a passage. Read it. Meditate. Think. Chew it. Then swallow it. You do that for 3 weeks. you'll be a different person. You'll be a different person, guaranteed. 15 minutes a day, morning 15, evening 15, take the word, cut out all distractions. And you read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What does that mean? You think. Even if you do not understand, just by putting your mind on this, your mind will change. Here's how I explain it. See this thing? Let's assume it weighs 2,000 pounds. Huh? And I try to lift it. And I can't. It's too heavy. But if I continue to exert force, my bicep will change. Any muscle physiologists? Any anatomy and physiologists? If I continue to try, even though this does not move, the application of opposite force will transform my bicep. Many Bible verses are like this. They don't move. They're tough, but try. Somebody say, hey. Your mind will change. Because your mind has come in contact with the Spirit of truth. Serving God in Satan's uniform. Let's stop that. Let's stop it. If you want to be a worldly person, go to the world. You know what Jesus said to the church in Laodicea? I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold, nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. Therefore, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. He doesn't really spew the cold, he spews the lukewarm. Not that he loves the cold, but he detests. In other words, God says, look, come clean, either before me or against me. Don't get into the middle. I'll spew you. If you want to be a Pentecostal, go join the Pentecostal church. Don't make the Adventist church Pentecostal. Because the Pentecostal church is not trying to become Adventist. You want to be Catholic? Go to the Vatican. You want to join the church that meets under a tree? Go. But don't try to transform God's remnant church into one of them. The Bible says, come out. Don't bring it in. Come out. How many of you will say, Father, help me to serve you in the uniform of heaven? Can I show him? The uniform of heaven. Stand up with me. Let me ask you, give me some boldness to ask you this. I just made a recommendation. I want a response. How many of you will try? How many minutes in the morning? How many in the evening? On the Word of God. Notice I said, shut out all distractions. Pray and say, open thou mine eyes. Psalm 119, verse 18, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Remind God of what Jesus said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. John 16, 13. And then you read and you think, what is it saying? What is it saying? You're actually talking to God. Father, what does this mean? You do that 15 minutes in the morning, 15 in the evening, 3 weeks, you'll be a different person. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for the honor of speaking for you. I'm quite sure I didn't do a very good job. Forgive me for that. But I hope I said something, God, that will change someone's life. Father, Jesus said in John 6, verse 70, have I not chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. Judas was serving Christ in Satan's uniform. God, there may be someone under the sound of my voice who is no different from Judas. In the church, but an agent of Satan. Father, please touch that person. because that person's influence will call others to join him or her. I call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ, dear God. Exercise the convicting power of the Spirit of God and change someone's mind right now, away from the world, towards the cross. Satan doesn't need more agents on his side, Father. You need more because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. You need people on your side. Now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I will make a very bold call. If there's a man or a woman listening to me, having heard what you heard tonight, you realize you may have been serving God wearing the devil's uniform, and you want to say, no more. Come. This message, open your eyes. I have been serving God in Satan's uniform, so effectively not serving God. Come. Let's go through a change tonight. Come. And for those of you who are determined to continue serving Satan, if you have to go to hell, go by yourself. Don't influence others. Father, I believe by my lifestyle, I've been serving the devil. Or serving God wearing the devil's uniform. I want that changed. Come. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that's what the word teaches us. Deny ungodliness. Deny the world. Deny lusts. Live soberly, righteously, godly in this present immoral world. We can live an upright life. I have been really serving the devil as an undercover agent for Satan in the church. My influence has twisted some people. Father, forgive me and put me on the right path tonight. Someone else come. 60 seconds. Come. Come. Don't have anyone's blood on your hands, please. Someone else. Serving God in Satan's uniform. Come. Someone else, come. God bless you, sister. Come courageously. I've come, sister. Come. Come. God is rejoicing at your move. Come. I no longer want to serve God wearing Satan's uniform. I no longer want to be an undercover agent for the devil within the church. Come. Come. Anybody else? Come, sister, come. God knows your heart. I don't. Satan doesn't know it either. God does. Come. If nothing will induce you to come, maybe this will. Satan is trying to kill you. Jesus died for you. Why serve the devil? Let me say it again. The Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. You are serving someone trying to kill you and turning your back on someone wanting to give you life. Makes no sense. Give up that life of wearing Satan's uniform while claiming to serve God. Come. Let me add another call. There's someone listening to me. You have been considering baptism. You've not yet made that decision. I want you to make it tonight. Father, I am deciding tonight I want to be baptized. It's just a decision. You won't be baptized tomorrow. It's a decision you're making tonight. I need to be baptized. I've been toying with the idea. I want to be serious now. Father, I am making a public decision. I want to be baptized, and I'm alerting the church and the pastor of my decision. Anyone who will make that decision, let me see your hand. I am deciding tonight I need to be baptized. Raise your hand. If you raise your hand for baptism, come right up front. Come right up front. You raise your hand for baptism, come right up front. Call my right here. Come right up front. Right up top. I need to be baptized. Come right up front. Come, sister, come. I need some elders with me. You should bring joy to your heart. Elders, deacons, come surround God's people. Come, my young brother. God bless you. Jesus was your age. I am making a decision to be baptized. There may be some young people who've never been baptized. You need to make that decision tonight. Come. Let's be soldiers in the army of Jesus, not defectors from heaven to hell. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come. 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 When appeals are made, you should pray. This is not a spectator sport. You should pray that the Spirit will move someone. I'm going to pray, then we can get the names. Anyone else coming to say, Father, I no longer want to serve God in Satan's uniform? Anyone else will answer that call? Come. Or anyone else will say, I really need to make a decision to be baptized. If baptism is your choice, come right up front. We're going to pray. While I pray, church, you pray. More prayer, come on. More power. If you're physically able, I want you to kneel. Father in heaven, we kneel in your presence to thank you that the door of probation is still open. We kneel to thank you, dear God, that the Spirit is still convicting. And this is the case because you are not willing that any should perish. Father, look at those kneeling in your presence. One group on the lower level, one group above. Some have answered a call. I no longer want to serve God in the devil's uniform. Others have come to say, yes, that's my decision, but also I'm adding to that baptism. Dear God, your servant Ella White writes in Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2, when a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. In the name of your Son, our Savior, grant a special measure of your Spirit to those who've said, I no longer want to serve God wearing Satan's uniform. Give them a special measure now, God, not later, now, of your Spirit to sustain them in this decision. For those who decided for baptism, grant them similarly a measure of your Spirit that no power on earth will change their mind. God, for that person resisting the call, you love that person, but give him or her no rest until the right decision is made. Bless those online. Let them make similar decisions, dear God, I pray. Now, Father, wrap your arms around us, I pray, tightly. So tightly there's no room for the devil to enter. Keep us close to your beating heart, dear God. And let us realize, perhaps for the first time, the joy of being fully committed to God. I offer this prayer from my heart, dear God. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.